Hi everyone, we're back. There is a little bit of swearing in this week's podcast. So if you're listening with little Johnny in the back of the car, or your grandma's there, or you're in the doctor's surgery, or on the bus, let's get involved with the latest Real Normal podcast.
Soldiers could be drafted in to drive petrol tankers after 3 days of panic buying, coupled with a shortage of drivers, has caused some pumps to run dry.
Government ministers are expected to meet today to discuss the proposal. They've already suspended oil industry competition laws to allow suppliers to work together.
As of today, Ontarians will need to provide proof of vaccination before entering certain high-risk indoor settings, including restaurants, bars, casinos, theatres and gyms.
I feel actually safer in the environment of a group setting. I have no problem showing my ID, and I think that's the way it should be. All you show is the second vaccine. It says on the vaccine, two vaccines. Show my ID, my driver's license, and I have it on my phone. Show her. Thank you very much. That's it. Easy.
I think that's an inconvenience that we can all bear. I think that's the only way that we could proceed going forward, or it's the best option that we've collectively come up with.
What a load of bollocks, Canada. What are you doing? Okay, everyone, welcome back to the Real Normal Podcast. Your host here, Lord Bricklesworth, slightly hungover from last night's late night Ryder Cup viewing as Europe went down into the deep dark water of Lake Michigan. So that's quite a nice little thing there. I'm already hitting my straps back at the podcast. Joined here by Laurie and Don. Boys, how's it going?
Yeah, good.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. In the words,
have I missed anything?
Yeah, we've done loads of podcasts without you. Yeah, this is our 400th episode. It's been a while. Oh, is that Creed?
Yeah, it was.
Is it Creed?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, Creed.
So, I noticed there's no Midge. Is he back in the clinic again?
Is he? He is, yeah. Unfortunately, Midge went on holiday to Prague and...
Not another dose.
Yeah, he just can't help himself.
He loves it, doesn't he?
Everyone's getting their boosters, but he's getting his in a different way at the moment. Laurie, what have you been up to? Anything good?
Been doing a bit of flying.
Oh, yeah. You've been doing a bit of... Oh, hold on, the Leibniz chocolates have turned up.
Oh, that's a great sound.
Hold on,
yeah.
That's just... So, a little bit of flying?
Yeah, not enough sleeping with people queuing up to get petrol outside my house at 7 o'clock this morning, so I'm a little bit angry.
I got a WhatsApp from Laurie before he got here at 7 minutes past 8 this morning. Said, honestly, it's driving me mad. Had people beeping their horns and all. And then he sent in another message because that wasn't good enough. He said, I'm in a foul mood and ready to tear into them. People been queuing for petrol since 6:45 a.m. this morning.
It would have been good for the podcast if you'd just gone along, knocked on a few of their windows and just sort of said, what the fuck are you doing?
Have you got an empty tank or three-quarters full tank and he's topping up?
They've all got empty brains.
We had this chat during the week. It's like, what has happened to people's ability to see the reality of what's going on?
There's no rational thinking anymore, is there?
Yeah, because even me driving over, sort of coming past the garage on the way in, great big queue of cars all along the main road waiting to come in.
Yeah. It's just like and you know that these people haven't all got empty tanks.
No, of course they have.
And I think a lot of people also don't fill their tanks up fully. They fill up to halfway and then they go down, don't they, I think? And so they're now trying to do it properly. But
it ends up this sort of self-fulfilling prophecy because we're not geared up for that kind of usage. And suddenly, like, oh, there is a shortage now.
You know, we're not getting to the subject yet. Yeah, we're not getting to the bones of the podcast.
You ain't the boss of me.
Hold on. I'm just a bit upset that, you know, this is our 400th podcast episode and no one's asked me what I've been doing.
What have you been doing, Jay?
Well,
that's enough of that.
Actually, you know what? I said that my anecdotal COVID suffering was going to be further into the podcast, but you know what? I might as well just cover it now.
Me and my wife
got COVID. Yeah, it was brutal. I was in bed for 2 days. And then I got better. That was literally
it. Which is what happens most people, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
I took two lateral flow tests, right? This is the first time I've ever done a test throughout this whole fucking mental crisis.
I thought you were going to say it's the first time you ever passed a test.
Yeah, in inverted commas. And I actually did, I felt pretty ill. I had the had like nights, you know, fever, just felt a bit shit really, and thought, you know what, I'll take a test. And literally it came back straight away, two lines on this thing that apparently means you're positive. So I thought, oh, it must be positive, I'm presenting symptoms. What did I do? Did I run off to get a PCR test and add myself to this ludicrous thing nationally?
No. Statistics.
You know what I did? I stayed in bed and got better, and that was it. Drank water, watched Scarface, which turns out not to be as good as everyone makes it out to be. I just can't... Al Pacino's character in that is so unlikable.
Yeah.
But,
wasn't that the point,
but,
though?
But anyway... Well, yeah, no, but... So, yeah, did that, got better. A couple of weeks later, and I know there's been lots of chat about people being able to access GP appointments and things like that. Unfortunately, had a bit of a bereavement in the family, very stressed out, and like I actually needed to go and see the GP because I had loads of like glands and shit coming up on me. I was like, oh, it's COVID. My old man said to me, so you should have been vaccinated. This wouldn't be happening. I was like, all right, Dad, thanks. He still believes it all. But
have your friends ever been ill with COVID and are vaccinated?
Oh, everyone I know who's had COVID again. Mm-hmm. Is now double vaccinated, and they've all had it miles worse than what I did last time. We'll come to that in a minute. So I rung up the GP,
powder dry.
I rang up the GP, the receptionist said, do you think it's an emergency? I was like, I don't know, I'm not a fucking doctor. You know, she said, do you want to come in and see a GP? And I said, well, yeah, I actually would. I got a GP's appointment that day. Really? 2 or 3 hours later, went and saw the GP, checked everything out, everything was fine. For some reason, she did a scrotal examination, even though the lumps were on my neck. God knows why. Yeah, she got to fear. She was behind a mask, so I'm not sure if she was smirking or grimacing. But maybe she was like...
Not sure what that means.
Is it normal for GPs to have whips? I really don't know. And also to live on a housing estate. but anyway, so I went and saw her.
Charge you in cash.
Thing is, right, once we sort of done the... you know, the consultation thing, and I don't want to waste the GP's time. I thought, I'm actually going to take the opportunity quickly just to ask her, you know, how's it going? And she said, I've not stopped seeing people throughout the whole thing. I've kept on seeing people. Some of the doctors aren't as happy about doing that, and she's like, well, that's up to them. She said, but I've been doing it, and that's why you're here with us today. She's got a whole day of appointments ahead of her.
I think you're lucky. It's luck of the draw. I think it really is luck of the draw.
Well, it is, but one thing she did say was, what I have noticed is that we're just getting abused by people all the time.
Yeah,
and regardless of what you think, these are people trying to do a really difficult job, and they're okay.
But abused in what sort of way? What are they saying?
I think it's more you're not seeing people. All this, I mean, I think a lot of people who, let's face it, most people who go and see GPs are probably in an older demographic, and they don't want to be going through all this bloody hoops to actually just see a face, where it used to be you ring up, you get an appointment, you see a GP.
My concern with it, I think that I'm sure has been some genuine abuse to them, but I do think that when there's people who are a little bit cross, who maybe are just asking questions, and now they're putting that down, you know, that down to abuse, I think there's that's when it sort of gets a bit, because at the end of the day we pay our taxes, so we're more than entitled to ask questions and also be a bit annoyed if we're not getting the service we're paying for.
Yeah, and ultimately, if you're going to a doctor because you're worried you're ill, you're not really going to start it off by abusing the doctor when you're hoping that they're going to like look after
I'm ill, you cunt.
Do something about it.
By the way, because this is season 4, I'd suppose to say, we're allowed to say really rude words in this season, all right? Because Mitch isn't here to tell me off.
Has that been policy from day one, though?
I don't know. For a little while, we didn't sort of swear, but, you know, I've been listening to The Thought Police with Mike Graham and Kevin O'Sullivan.
I don't care anymore.
But they push the boat out more ways than one. But, Laurie, you've had a bit of interaction with your local NHS lately, haven't you?
So... Well, kind of. I mean, they basically sent out a text message to all the, you know, to patients, and then it's just got a link, which is a surgery update. The first section was about we've had a lot of abuse towards our staff, which is completely wrong, and that's not on at all.
Anyone doing any job should not be abused for that job.
No. And to be fair, a lot of the, especially when it comes to
wardens.
Oh yeah, that's perfect.
That's fine. But then it went on to how there's been they sort of started speaking about how there's been a media campaign basically trying to destroy GP surgeries about not being able to get face-to-face appointments. Mm. And they said that this has very little to do with the pandemic. It has much more to do with demand outstripping supply. I thought was an interesting, comment.
So what were they saying? They're not enough GPs, or not enough receptionists, or not enough?
Demand outstripping the supply to me would suggest that it's the backlog, isn't it? I guess, and which has been egged on by lots of lockdowns, and I think also the lack of face to face appointments. I'm sure that slowed things up quite a lot.
But also, I think we've covered it before. The fact that people were reluctant to go to GPs for months and months and months, things that may have been fairly easily and quickly treated initially have sort of manifested into something much more serious.
Well, also, that thing of a GP is trained to look at the symptoms presented in front of them when someone sat there, like, are they a little bit pasty? Have they lost weight? Things like that.
There's so many things you really can't diagnose, on certainly on a video call as well.
Yeah. They did ask me to take a photo, and I said to the girl...
What, of your balls?
Yeah, I said, were they just, like, glandy lumps or whatever? Mm. What do you want to take a fucking photo?
I've got a little cyst on my arm, and I had to do the same thing, and they tried to make me take a photo of this, and I was like, how can you... You can't realistically.
You should have got a biro
that.
Wrote on it with an arrow, cyst. Yeah. Funny enough, the anecdotal thing here. My uncle, for the whole of his life, every time he sends a birthday card to my mum, he always spells it cyst, C-Y-S-T. I just love that.
So they also finished. They also went in with a statement. This kind of started to grind my gears. That they then put in a. Or this is the. I guess this is the practice manager of the surgery. I did not want to be political, but please remember there's a health and care bill going through Parliament at the moment. We are all lucky to have healthcare that is free at the point of care and does not involve shareholders who seek to make a profit. This, to me, says a few... There's a lot of things that are wrong with this, but firstly, they're almost saying, well, if you've got complaints, shut up, you're lucky enough to have free healthcare. Firstly, it's not free.
It's not
we pay a fortune. And we pay... If you ever look at your P60 and see how much money goes towards your healthcare compared to what we pay for private healthcare, it's probably about 7 or 8 times more than what you pay for health insurance.
Next year, you're going to have a big fat levy on there as well.
But it's the sacred cow of the NHS, isn't it? You should just be thankful for this. And yet we're going to be paying even more money into the NHS with NI raises that are going to make absolutely... It's just going to get swallowed up. It's going to make absolutely no difference.
Exactly.
They then put in a quote by Noam Chomsky, which I thought was really interesting. They put that's the standard technique of privatisation. They don't want this to be political, by the way.
Yes.
Defund, make sure things don't work, people get angry, and then you hand it over to private capital. Now, there's nothing wrong with making a profit. That holds accountability. And the fact they put that in, I just thought that's the most socialist thing you can put in, isn't it?
Well, they're also about reduced funding. It's like, what is it now, £230 billion a year we're pumping into the NHS?
Because the government can run things really well, can't it?
Not just that. They've just written off all their debts as well.
Yep.
So that's all gone, because the NHS was in debt, wasn't it, to the tune of billions of pounds. And they've just had an extra £80 billion put in just last week, I think, something like that. And like you say, it's just money gone. And also, what was it, a couple of weeks ago... we've just found out that, obviously, the head of diversity at the NHS gets paid more than the head of the NHS.
It's 200 plus, isn't it, I guess?
And like Bolton Hospital, we might have seen this last week, where they had 4 job placements coming up, permanent job placements, all in the region of £40,000 to £70,000 a year.
Diversity
managers.
Well, that's going to save a few lives, isn't it?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's probably going to pay for,
Let's pay someone
10 nurses.
Pay someone to basically find inequality. That's their job, otherwise they haven't got a job. I mean, that's going to...
You know what? One thing I did say, going back to the fuel crisis and just talking about inequality and diversity in that, one of the MPs of the Conservative Party said we need to, you know, increase pay for lorry drivers, we need to make it easier for them to pass their thing, so we can have more lorry drivers and a more diverse lorry driver. And I was like, fucking who gives a fuck?
Have they got two legs and can they see?
Yeah.
And two arms?
I don't care if the lorry driver wants to dress up as Sheila, whether it's a fucking woman or a man.
Can they deliver the... Can they get the fuel from the port to the petrol station?
Yeah, I don't care about diversity. I just don't want people queuing up outside garages. But anyway, we digress.
No, so that was... I just... Again, it's the... I don't want to be political, but I'm going to be very political. Ground me a little bit. They then went on to then explain that also they're also very busy because they're going to be looking after all the refugees in Stansted Airport as well, despite the fact there's been a mass... So basically, there's a massive backlog. You might not get face-to-face appointments, but you can't say anything bad to us because we're going to say that's abuse, and you can't criticise us, but we're going to make this political, and then we're also going to then go and prioritise people from other countries.
Yeah, they've pretty much ticked every box.
Yeah, they have. They've really gone down that list.
Really well done.
So that was... I have actually emailed them saying, who do I need to speak to make a few very polite points back? And they have actually come back to me quite politely and given me an email address, so I'm going to make it.
So they said you'll find there's a bin outside the GP.
Well, I'm actually going to be changing surgery soon, so I feel like I can go all out on them a little bit, maybe. And
your farewell letter.
Yeah, yeah.
For those of you who haven't listened to you've just joined us at the podcast, you've never listened to us before, unlucky that you've arrived and lucky that you haven't heard any of the previous episodes, but definitely come back in a few weeks' time when hopefully Laurie will read out his letter.
I've been struck off the NHS.
Barred.
I'm going private.
I did that a long time ago.
I mean, it's funny what you're saying about the NHS as well, because we have got an issue with people actually getting in to access the NHS. Saying here, delay, and also there's a lot of people dying at the moment, apparently, but not of COVID. And this is really worrying.
No. It's only possible to die of COVID.
Yeah. Of course, sorry.
You haven't been paying attention.
I thought it was interesting that the media actually started reporting that, though, because that's the first time I've seen them actually.
Well, this is actually Sarah Napton at The Telegraph, who's a very. Yeah. She's good. I mean, yeah.
One of the rare journalists left these days.
She's a rare journalist who just does her job.
Who'd have thought?
Delays caused by the pandemic mean that there's been an increase in non-COVID emergencies arriving at hospitals, say doctors. While focus remains firmly fixed on COVID-19, a second health crisis is quietly emerging in Britain. Since the beginning of July, there have been thousands of excess deaths not caused by coronavirus and probably at home. According to health experts, this is unusually high for the summer, although excess deaths are expected during the winter months when cold weather and seasonal infections combine to place pressure on the NHS. In summer, we generally see a lull. And then some of the things that people are dying of. Now, I'm not going to get into the vaccine thing, but data from Public Health England shows that during the period there were 2,103 extra deaths registered from heart diseases, heart failure, 1,552 from heart failure, 760 deaths with cerebrovascular diseases such as stroke and aneurysm, and 3,915 other circulatory diseases, which is apparently an increase of about 50%.
Well, from
this
one
last year. Yes.
Now, could they say that's down to people drinking more and maybe being more unhealthy? Could they just playing devil's advocate?
I think you're probably going to find that people are incredibly stressed at the moment, and that's going to put a huge burden on someone's circulatory system. and if they're drinking more, especially after the amount I ingested last night, then I know for a fact that it can definitely put pressure on the old systems.
On the toilet.
It's still funny, they say as well that people are struggling to access the NHS. Since the start of the pandemic, charities and health bodies have warned that people are struggling to access care as the NHS switched to fighting the pandemic. And this is one of those things that really annoys me, that people go, oh, they go, it's COVID that's caused this. No, it's not. It's policy.
It's
just one of those things. Dr. Charlotte Summers, an intensive care consultant at Addenbrooke's Hospital, Cambridge, told Royal Society of Medicine event this week that patients were arriving at A&E with serious conditions that had worsened during the pandemic. She said, there is an increase in non-COVID emergencies that are arriving at the front doors of hospital from all the delays the pandemic has created already. I mean, come on. Things like people presenting later with tumours and therefore having bowel perforations and aneurysms and lots of other things that were being delayed. We've got a massive elective backlog, and we're potentially likely to have flu at increased levels this year because immunity to influenza will have waned.
But this is all stuff that we talked about in one of our early podcasts way back May, June last year.
This was called by a lot of people who can think a bit critically a long time ago.
Well, I mean,
it just seems extraordinary.
What was the song by Radiohead? You do it to yourself. And that is basically, this is caused by policy.
But do you think some of the people who are still genuinely really terrified are going to look at that and go, oh my God, I can't believe that's happened? You know, or are they going to go, well, it's just because of COVID, rather than actually thinking about the reasons that it's actually
the fact that it was clearly avoidable.
Yes,
who probably read the paper in a mask with goggles and gloves on. They now, even though they've got a lump the size of a football hanging off their head, they won't go to the doctor because they're terrified. Instead, they'll probably just drive to a petrol station.
With their jerry cans.
That is the sort of person we're dealing with here. This goes out to all you punk-ass motherfuckers out there. We'll take your masks off when you go into Sainsbury's. Y'all heroes, you hear me? Y'all heroes to the cause to keep Britain free. The sooner we take them off, then we can be free. Yeah.
The crops and tortoises.
Hope you're enjoying the podcast so far, guys. Can you please leave us a review on iTunes if possible? Can you please tell your friends about the podcast? Share a link with like-minded lockdown skeptics, or if you want to convert people over to your way of thinking, maybe don't share this podcast with them. You can also send us an email to therealnormalpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and we might read your email out. Anyway, let's get on with the show. Okay, well, should we talk a little bit about the fuel crisis while we're sort of going on to that a little bit?
Fuel, in inverted commas, crisis.
Yeah, we can.
Yes.
Do you want me to start off with some of the news that's been coming out
I think you should hit us
in the Telegraph today? Well, look, maybe we should just sort of go over it. What's going on out there at the moment?
Well, people just seem to pretty lost their marbles. There is no fuel shortage. And when it was first announced, if you actually looked at the number of petrol stations that run out of diesel, it's sort of like single figures. But the way the whole media sort of covered it, it made it sound like it's a whole national shortage. And lo and behold, everyone went mental, same as like the old bog roll shortage last year and everything. Just people can't think critically and examine what the details were. We were saying earlier, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Suddenly, if everyone goes out the same day to try and fill their cars, then sure enough, the forecourts will run out of fuel because they're not geared up for everyone filling up on the same day.
I think people have become so conditioned now to look to the government to what they should be doing. And, you know, the government have obviously said don't panic buy, but that was a bit late after they said there's going to be a bit of a shortage.
It's almost like saying don't panic buy, and everyone goes, oh my god, we got to panic buy. I mean, it's a self-fulfilling thing, isn't it, as soon as you say it. Interesting news came out about it today, because obviously we've got thousands of people lining up at forecourts all over the country because they're shitting themselves about running out of diesel and petrol. Funnily enough, I had a WhatsApp,
especially diesel, that seems to be the one that's they're rinsing more
them.
I think
My wife's brother went to the forecourt today, and he wheeled his wheel, because he lives right next to a garage, wheeled his lawnmower over there and just filled his lawnmower. I thought it was quite good. But yeah, we've got this in the Telegraph today as well. I mean, the Telegraph's just the place to go, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're an ex-Tory and current Reform member. Scenes of cars queuing at petrol forecourts this week have triggered uncomfortable memories of Britain's fuel crisis more than 20 years ago. Can't believe it's 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I
do remember that, yeah.
Yeah. Rather than blockaded refineries, the disruptions has its immediate genesis in a fateful cabinet meeting 9 days ago with some of Britain's biggest companies and industry associations. Basically what happened is BP wanted their drivers to be allowed into the country from the continent and not have to go through all the COVID
testing,
stuff.
Yeah.
And the government said to them to fuck off. And so BP basically made this crisis up. That's pretty much what they're
just
saying.
Force their hand.
When explosive warnings from oil giant BP that a shortage of HDG drivers, would force it to ration petrol station deliveries, hit the front pages, anxious drivers inevitably scurried to fill up despite ministerial pleas not to do so. Motorist groups were baffled by the issue being thrust into the public consciousness after a summer of low-level disruption barely registered. The timing has fueled suspicion that the leak was more to do with politics and the lobbying campaign for loser visa restrictions. And what has Boris just announced today?
They're going to let more drivers.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's thrashing around like
is he still in the US though? He should have gone on a plane and come.
Well, how did he get into the US? He's had AstraZeneca.
They don't
see AstraZeneca as being vaccinated.
Well, it doesn't count for them though, does it? So
I mean, what's that? Okay, let's just sign a line under the petrol crisis here, and then we'll move on to Boris's ridiculous shit that he's been saying before we move on to our lovely our xenophobic FUE.
Well, just very quickly, on that note, I love it that he's in the US talking about these green issues whilst there's a crisis on petrol over here. I mean, you just got
petrol, natural gas.
We'll get to that in a minute, man.
He's been very bossy today.
I know.
I thought we were here just for a bit of a chit-chat.
Too much toad in the hole last night.
love a bit of toad in the hole. That was good, that was. And also, pure man. I'm a big fan of pure mash. I don't like mash that's overcomplicated. Don't put French mustard in it and all that shit. Bit of milk, if you want to, salt and pepper, bit of cheese on top. Leave the mash alone. Hey, people, leave that mash alone. Anyway, so the petrol forecourt thing, let's face it, it's going to blow over. Next week, it'll be a thing of the past. Most people can only fill up their petrol tanks once before they go go back again or whatever.
I don't know, maybe once they're filled up, they then drive round and round and round until they find another garage and join another
queue. I actually think a lot of people are going to not let it go below a half, and then when they get to a half tank, they're going to keep filling. That's what people were doing yesterday for sure.
Well, I mean, I hardly drive anywhere anymore. I mean, imagine how bad this crisis would be if the whole workforce was going back into work again.
Yeah.
That'd be insane, wouldn't it? But there we go. So, yeah, Boris is over in America. Well, I think he is at the moment. And obviously, we've got a fuel crisis, but I think we will definitely have a winter energy crisis coming our way. We've left ourselves really, really exposed to foreign companies, a cable coming from France, gas supplies from Russia, things like that. And
a reliance on wind farms that don't really work.
And solar panels.
And solar panels.
In the UK.
They actually use more energy to get the energy across from them than it does actually the amount they generate.
Well, and I mean, also the fact that people think solar panels are green. It's like, well, are they made of leaves or something? Yeah. No, they're made of silicon and, you know, electrically bits and acids and stuff like that. It's like, right, yeah, great. So, Don, what has he been saying out in America at the moment?
I have no idea.
So, Laurie, what has he been saying out in America at the moment?
Well, I know that he commented that something that Biden was a breath of fresh air, probably because he doesn't remember who he is, which probably makes life a bit easier
for negotiations. Yeah, but in all the photos, how is he going to smell his breath? They're both wearing masks. Until they get up and take them off and then hug each other. I mean, what?
Well, Biden's got written on his hand, hasn't he, that Boris, England, there will be biscuits later or something.
Hates IRA, therefore I hate Boris. Yeah. I mean, he is mental. But
It's mad because he is... You compare it to someone like Trump who would take on every question. Biden hasn't got the cognitive ability. So that's why he's got his handlers to basically cut feed when
well,
when
and
needed.
Also the fact that they can only have carefully pre-scripted questions he's been programmed to answer. He can't answer anything off the cuff.
He can't because he isn't there. He isn't all there.
There's, not at all.
He should not.
But it was on his auto cue, wasn't it? A couple of weeks ago, they saw it. It said walk away. At the end of his speech. So they have to tell him.
He didn't say it, did he?
That would be good.
Smile.
Smile, turn around,
Smile, wave, walk away.
Joe Biden starts up his own cake decorating company. You know, when they have the people, they just have the email and they go, please write happy birthday to thing. And they actually write that out verbatim on the cake. So that's literally what he's doing.
That is, But it's interesting because Black Lives Matter have now come out in the US and are sort of about these mandates, haven't
Honestly,
they?
Honestly, so... Twitter's head must be just fucking exploding at the moment because they love Black Lives Matter, they love vaccines, and it's all like...
They end up eating each other, though, because they cannot be the consistent... And, I mean, I've got to support them on what they're saying on the vaccine mandates because they've been obviously saying they're discriminatory. No shit, but...
Well, should we talk a little bit, very quickly, about vaccine mandates before we move on to Don's FUEU moment? I did write down an agenda here, but we seem to be hopping about from bit to bit. But who cares? We haven't been here for a while.
Yep.
And like some of our lovely reviewers on iTunes, you can leave reviews of the podcast on iTunes if you like, have said, it's just like sitting in a pub with your mates.
Mates you don't see very often, though.
Exactly. Not anymore. Have I got my pages the right way round? Okay. So there was a, obviously with all these massive decisions that we have, I think Julia Hartley Brewer put it really well. She said she spends more time choosing towels in John Lewis than the government does debating on whether they should vaccinate the population, in particular children. Miriam Cates, Conservative MP from somewhere, spoke in a parliamentary debate. Now this is going to be a breath of fresh air for you guys here because this is an MP who seems to know what's going on. Yes, I know.
She won't last long,
no,
will she?
That's it. She'll be out.
She said, the JCVI announced that it was unable to recommend the mass vaccination of healthy 12 to 15-year-olds. There is considerable uncertainty regarding the magnitude of the potential harms, such as the long-term effects of myocarditis, because obviously we all know that Chris Whitty, A, doesn't have children,
yeah.
But B, also has a crystal ball and can see into the future. Mm-hmm. According to the JCVI, for every 1 million healthy children vaccinated, 2 intensive care unit admissions will be prevented. Just think about what she said there. 2 intensive care unit admissions. That's not 2 children admitted into intensive care. That's just maybe they passed it on to a granddad or something like that. And 3 to 17 cases of myocarditis caused. So you save 2 intensive care people... and 3 to 17 cases of myocarditis. With 2 doses, that rises to 15 and 51 cases of myocarditis. That could be potentially, say, 35 children who would never have died of COVID who've now got myocarditis. Now, currently they're saying that people who have this acting end up with heart scarring. They generally get better, you know. I mean, Don knows a scarred heart isn't something you really want, is it?
No. We haven't got enough long-term data to know what that heart scar, what that could, you know, what that could do in the long term as well. So.
Well, she goes on, there is no rush to roll out the vaccine to children. No. We know that children are not at risk from COVID. Over half of children already have antibodies, and there is no evidence that schools drive transmission. I mean, this must have been mad for them to hear. Recorded COVID cases are now at their lowest level since June, despite schools having been open for 2 weeks. It is also unlikely that vaccinating children will have a major impact on infection rates. The JCVI saying that they have any impact on transmission may be relatively small, given the lower effectiveness of the vaccine against the infection with the Delta variant. This decision is a marked departure from the principle of vaccinating people for their own medical benefit. Educational disruption and concerns around mental health are the consequences of policy decisions and not scientific inevitability.
And that was the real nail on the head there, yeah. I think.
According to the government's modelling, vaccinating children could save 41 days of schooling per 1,000 children between October and March. That equates to an average of just 15 minutes of education saved per child. There is a much simpler way to stop harmful education disruption, and that is to follow the advice of the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health and end the mass testing of asymptomatic children.
When have we ever vaccinated children for their mental health, or almost given them any kind of medical procedure for their mental health?
Yeah,
Chris Whitty, shut the schools down. 8 months later, yeah. Chris Whitty, oh dear, they're all mentally ill. Let's vaccinate them and keep the schools open.
Well, with a nice brown envelope somewhere in his back pocket, I would have thought something.
It's just frightening, isn't it?
I've seen people argue. Well, yeah, the JCVI obviously have said no to it on medical grounds, but the government. The reason that the chief medical officers have said let's go for it is for these other.
Yeah,
for these social
non-medical reasons.
Yeah, but that's not an argument. Yeah. That's just not. They haven't got their health in their in best interest at all. And the chance of the chance of children dying from it is so minimal. The risk reward is not there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They're more at risk of dying playing on the swings than they are COVID.
I don't know. I mean, I just find it really bizarre how there's obviously been a lot of pressure from some of the pharmaceutical companies. I think to push this onto children. And it's going to go to babies. It's going to be babies. They're going to push it down to even younger children. But they are in the US already. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're seeing large corporate companies, and this has been happening for a long time, but we're seeing it properly in front of us now, aren't we? Large corporate companies can pressure government. We've seen it with BP and this fuel crisis in the last week.
The lobbying power is insane.
And the lobbying, yeah. I mean, Pfizer and that, they yeah. are probably richer than some small countries.
Yeah,
you know.
Some medium-sized countries.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot there, but I think in terms of child vaccinations, it's something we can do at a later date, because there are a few legal challenges, and it'd be interesting to see what the conclusion of those are. So
yeah.
let's come back to that.
Yeah, we'll come back to that one. That's a good shout. Okay, after the break we'll be going over to the lovely continent of Europe. Unfortunately, the only time I ever like Europe is during the Ryder Cup and at the moment they're struggling. In fact, before we move on, we're currently recording this on Saturday the 25th, so just getting ready for day two of the Ryder Cup, and we obviously don't know what the scores are going to be. Maybe we should ask Chris Whitty.
Or Neil Ferguson.
Yeah, we are doomed. So I'm obviously a huge golf fan, so is Don. Laurie, are you a big golf man? Do you follow the Ryder Cup?
I don't follow it, no. No. So it's sort of Greek to me.
To be honest, you're probably doing a good thing at the moment, because I think we're 6-1...
6-2 down.
6-2 down?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We're on the end of a beating.
Oh, why did we take McIlroy and Poulter?
Rose should have been on the team.
Just thinking about it, a couple of weeks ago I went to Wentworth to the BMW PGA. This goes back to coronavirus. Obviously, my wife and I are not vaccinated yet. We're going to wait for our own reasons. None of you need to know, and it's frankly fucking rude to ask. We therefore had to take lateral flow tests, okay? I went on the NHS website, typed in the barcode or whatever for the lateral flow test, and it came up with three options: positive, negative, or inconclusive. I put negative, and then I got my code, and then I could easily show it to the guys at Wentworth and go in.
That was it.
I didn't even do the fucking test. What is going on?
But there's a serious...
And secondly, like the first day, they didn't ask to see him anyway. He just wandered in.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we're in a serious pandemic, though, aren't we? You know, it's
people are dropping like flies.
They are.
Which is why...
It's like the plague. It really is.
It is insane.
You couldn't make it up, can you?
But what was really nice, actually, that trip, we stayed down at fantastic hotel, packed. It's constantly packed hotel, busy bars, cafes, restaurants. None of the staff wore masks. None of the customers wore masks.
None of the people wore masks at the golf.
Yes, then you had to get a double-decker... sort of park and ride thing to the the golf course, hardly anyone on the double-decker bus is wearing masks, and at the golf course, good. No one is wearing masks, and it's like, this is like a nice, normal trip.
The way it should have been.
The only massive issue I had was the hotel bar shut at 10:30.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that all about?
Yeah.
I mean, what is going on with the world? Anyway, come back after the break, guys, when we're going to be doing a little bit of FUEU. And also, I think we should rename Culture Corner, because that's very Toby Young's podcast. That's what they call it. So we should think about what we're going to rename it. I don't know.
Movies and books.
Books and teas.
A lot of creativity went into that.
Maybe what I'm going to do is I'm going to lift out you saying that and put that into a little song. Just movies and books. Movies and books. So Don, FUEU this week.
I've just got a few random kind of scribblings. Start off with some good news. UK's economy expanded faster than any of the other countries in the G20 in the second quarter of this year.
No, you're lying.
Yes.
You've got to be lying. I haven't seen that in the news.
GDP was up by 4.8%, and the next highest was Italy with 2.7%.
How is Italy the next highest? What the fuck is the rest of Europe doing?
Because it's come from such a low base. They sell an extra bag of pasta. It's gone up 2.7%.
Good season for the olives.
Yeah. I know, an Aperol. It's quite expensive, isn't it? And they obviously, you know, on the plazas, there's lots of that going on.
£12 a bottle at the moment.
You get Aperol. Really? Yeah. Bloody hell. There'll be a shortage of Aperol soon.
Yeah, don't tell everyone. Cut that out. And obviously, there's been all the chat about what's going to happen to all the finance centre in London and the city after Brexit. But a recent survey showed that more than two-thirds of financial institutions believe London will remain the preeminent financial centre of Europe, with 9 out of 10 of companies expecting further growth next year.
Who'd have thought?
Yeah, that can't be true.
Then going on from that, KPMG have predicted that the number of employees in the city will rise by more than 20% from pre-COVID rates, with an additional 100,000 jobs created.
Bloody hell, that's mad.
Going further from that, recent figures show that the UK surplus trade in services increased again in the last quarter to 28.5 billion, 10 billion of that being with Europe.
So we're still doing quite a lot with Europe, aren't we?
Yeah. You know? No, absolutely. Then I thought I'd have a look at what's happened with our overall trade in goods with Europe, because obviously at the beginning of the year, the media was lapping it up, like all the problems, and surprise, surprise, the first month of the year, trade dropped as people got used to all the new conditions and paperwork. So I've got the ONS figures for goods exported to the EU in the second quarter of 2019 and compared them with the second quarter of this year. So 2019, it's 41.7 billion. This quarter, it's 41.4 billion. So there's only been a change of 0.3 billion in a quarter.
I mean, that's quite a lot of money to me.
To all of us, I would have thought.
Then I thought, well, one of the biggest things that was in the news in January was all the problems with...
Can we just stop on here? He's on a podcast. He's just showing...
I have in my hand a piece of paper.
He's showing us a graph. So if I could just describe the graph to you.
up and down, up, down, up, down, 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 up.
Up, down, but slightly going up throughout the graph as it goes from left to right.
So this is the ONS figures for trade of fish and shellfish with the EU going back to 2011 up to July 2021. And what it shows is, again, January, there was a huge drop, which again was all across the news. And then you look at the graph, in March, we did the highest ever value of exports of fish and shellfish to the EU. And that wasn't mentioned in the news. Right. And since March, it's continued at equal to or above 2019 rates of exports.
This is also in line with the big spike of whelk sales at Aldbury in summer when I was there. Hands up, he loves whelks.
Take or leave them.
The thing is, though, what the...
Hold on. Laurie's wife is here. Is she married?
No.
Laurie's girlfriend is here.
His wife's at home.
Do not use first name.
I'm desperate to get her to say something to that. Do you like whelks?
No, hate them.
Really? What's your favourite seafood?
Crab or crayfish.
Crab's risky, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I love it.
Who wants a more female voice on the podcast, everyone? If you do, leave a review on iTunes. And, and leave it saying, Kate's great. Anyway. So you've got a little bit more EU.
Just a couple of little bits. Venture capital investment for the first 6 months of the year reached 13.5 billion, which is more than the whole of 2020. They're just going to sort of then meander on to sort of the shortage of HGV drivers. Again, the way it's portrayed in the news, it's like it's purely a UK problem.
Yeah. And it's purely Brexit's fault.
Yeah. And when you look at it's like, well, no, this is a pan-European issue. There was a recent paper by an organisation called Transport Intelligence, and it showed that Europe currently has a shortage of 400,000 HGV drivers, with Poland alone having a shortage of 124,000 drivers. Yeah. And it's like, well, if Europe's got this huge shortage, A, it shows that it's not a kind of purely UK issue. It's not driven by Brexit. It's driven by a huge amount of other reasons. I mean,
pay being one of them, I think.
Well, there's pay, but then also, again, because of, like, ridiculous lockdown.
Well, 20,000 habits have changed, haven't they?
Yeah. But there's 20,000 fewer tests taken last year. Also, they changed the tax banding for lorry drivers, made it less lucrative. Also, the average age of the driver is 55, so a lot of them retiring.
A dying trade.
Yeah, there's not enough going into it, yeah.
Quite literally. But then that's what makes me laugh, saying, oh, the government's talking about allowing 5,000 drivers to have a temporary visa to
there's not enough
in
on the continent, let alone
here. Exactly. So if you've got a shortage of...
We've got a backlog of, I think, about 40,000 people in this country who are waiting to do their HGV licences, and it's just been, well, because of COVID.
The funny thing is, they're now going to fast-track them. Well, driving on the road next year is going to be really interesting, because lorry drivers, I mean, when you're driving... You know when you're driving past the lorry on and they start indicating when you're next to them to go into your lane, it's like, oh, my fucking God, I'm shitting myself. And they think next year there's going to be loads of these guys and girls, a diverse range of lorry drivers going out there.
Because that's what's important.
That's what's important. they're going to be going out having been fast-tracked through an HGV licence. And let's not beat around the bush here.
They
will be, but I think a lot of people look down on that trade, just like they look down on everyone else who delivers stuff and everyone else who does a menial task. You have to be pretty well trained to drive a lorry.
Yeah,
that's a massive thing. The things are about 40, 50 feet long. Tons of stuff.
You've got to be able to endure the journeys as well.
I'd hate it.
No.
Yeah, but, I mean, gone are the days where you had truck stops with a nice prostitute in them. They don't get that anymore. They have to park up on their own.
All cold at night on their own, you know. That's sad, isn't it?
But I remember my dad telling me, for his driving licence, he did national service. And so he was in the Royal Engineers, I think it was. And so his first couple of weeks, once he was enlisted, they're like, getting that lorry over there, not past his test, it's like, getting that lorry over there, see those cones, park it in those cones, see those cones over there, reverse it into those cones, did that, and like, congratulations, you've now passed. And that's the only driving test my old man had. That covered for him once he's a civilian.
Was that during the great cone shortage? When, when all the cones have been crushed?
No, people would rush out now and start buying cones.
You got any more in FUEE?
No, I think that would do. Oh, no, actually, one other thing. Well, I don't know if it's FUEU, but it's Europe. We talk about all the ridiculous things that have been brought in to combat COVID. My next-door neighbour's Portuguese. She went home a couple of weeks ago. She went out with her family to their favourite family restaurant where they always go to. And they took her younger brother, who hasn't been vaccinated, walk up to the restaurant. They're like, oh, we need to see your COVID passes. And they're like, well, he's under 18. He hasn't been vaccinated. They're like, well, you can't come in. They're like, well, we ate here yesterday. It's like, yes, just Friday and Saturday nights, you have to show a COVID passport to eat in the restaurant, but every other night of the week you can just go in and eat.
Again, it's just, let's follow a process. It's not let's be seen to be doing something. Rather, there's nothing scientific about it.
It's just
political. Isn't
you know
it?
What I was thinking about doing actually, because we got sent a article from someone in Lithuania.
That's shocking.
I think what we should do is I might just do a standalone episode on the podcast. We just read that article out, and that'll really sort of demonstrate what do you want and what you could risk happening, because
This is what could happen. Yeah. That's what could happen.
But the thing is, that is the start. Mm. You know, it's you've not had your COVID vaccine, therefore you can't go to the football or you can't go to a restaurant. But what next?
But there's two things with that. I mean, just in brief, pretty much, if you haven't been vaccinated, you're only allowed to go in shops that sell food and only shops under a certain square footage.
Yeah.
And that's it. And also, what is scary with Lithuania, they were the first country to sort of rise up against Soviet control. Yeah. And pretty much the civilians forced the Soviet army out before the fall of the Berlin Wall and everything.
But it shows there must be something underlying. I mean, you'd think that's what you'd think they'd appreciate
their
freedom.
Well, they're more than anyone.
Yeah. If there has been a disease going about in this supposed pandemic, it's a disease of apathy, isn't it? People just like, don't really care.
The same people as well that spout about we need to do this to protect others are the ones that are going out there panic buying petrol right now as well.
I mean, yeah, it's just everyone else.
I mean, let's face, at the end of the day, no one really cares about anyone else. That's it.
I care about you, Lloyd.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah. I suppose I care about you to a degree.
Talking about that, if we did read that out in kind of full, it might be
well,
used...
Well, you want me to do accents? You're from Lithuania. God. Sorry.
I think we should play it safe.
A clean car. At Tesco's. I'm sorry.
I think it'd be interesting to do like a snapshot of what stupid things other European countries are doing
that's a good idea.
In the fight against COVID. Yeah.
And where they're at, I mean, because I think Lithuania is almost the real far end of it, and where they're at in comparison to where they are, because that's how it starts.
I know you want to do European countries, and they're not in Europe, but they are in Eurovision. We could do a whole episode on Australia at the moment.
They're
there's
so much to unpack there.
Did you see that one where there was a guy, police started hitting him with batons because he was stood on a beach without a mask?
No, but I can imagine it. They
it's for your own protection.
But they've now the freedom of speech is now dead there. They're policing Facebook in terms of what people are posting.
Well, they shut the internet off in Melbourne, didn't they?
Yeah.
A couple of days ago.
They've actually brought in the army, isn't it? Yeah, well, it's not the army, it's the specialist ones, you know. They're more geared up for like counter-insurgency sort of troops.
I feel like the government there is almost become a puppet of China. There's always been a bit of a close link to China because
of
the
geography.
Yeah, there is. And it's just so baffling to see. But the fact that they quite like being locked up over there, don't they? I suppose.
Well, I did hear a nice little sort of quotey bit. It was something along the lines of, the problem with Australia is it's not full of ex-cons, it's full of jailers. That's the problem with Australia. Yeah. And it's always been fairly authoritarian.
They've always had a bit of an issue with their freedoms. It's always been quite a big government control place in terms of, you know, taxes and just general government process and procedure. But it's so sad to see it becoming like that. And the
country that brought us Neighbours.
That's about
it. Coming in. But also, they're just going to leave themselves so vulnerable, as other countries kind of open up, when they do finally open up, they're going to be so vulnerable.
So I was saying to you, Lord, the other day about a guy and his missus that I've got on Facebook, and they both live in Australia. They're Kiwis, but they both live in Australia.
All right, bro. Sorry, there's a Kiwi.
I know, that was good.
Do you want to paint my dick?
my deck? They've put up some sort of quite self-righteous stuff on there about sort of supporting these measures and everything. Until it started affecting them, they're getting a nice big extension built in their house. Mm. And obviously recently the unions in Australia have come out to the construction workers and said, you've got to be vaccinated.
Otherwise,
and it's now their extension's on hold. So now they're kicking off. Because until it affects those kind of people, they're not interested.
They're saying the police now have to be mandatorily vaccinated. And apparently the police unions are like, you can't do that.
Well, but this is it. I mean,
I didn't know the police had a union.
But we've been saying this for a long time. The reason from day one, because we know where this ends up, and it will eventually get everyone. It will eventually end up affecting everyone. And people are so short-sighted, and also just quite self-centred. Where they think it's never going to. Well, that doesn't. You know, nightclubs. I don't go to nightclubs, so I don't care about that.
Yeah.
But it stretches out from there, doesn't it?
What about when you haven't had your tetanus jab and you haven't had your flu jab and you can't go out and you can't get education and you can't be employed anymore because you might fall pregnant?
You can't go to university unless you've had a jab. I mean, that's almost a reality, isn't it? Now, to a degree.
I believe Laurie has got a little bit on the illustrious, sexy man who's making a comeback.
Or trying to.
He's trying to, yeah.
In apparently a place where they make decisions, known as Parliament, apparently.
Well, he's Matt Hancock's trying to sort of get back in, I suppose, isn't he? He's obviously still an MP.
Get back in what?
Well, or who?
What's her name?
So, who?
I'm desperate to crowbar as much innuendo into this piece as possible.
Well, he wrote a piece for the Daily Mail, which was titled, "In all my time in public life, I've never come across a group so blinkered and dangerous as anti-vaxxers."
I have such an issue with that word anyway. It's no one used that word before this pandemic. It's just, you know, it's one that the media used to blanket.
If they did, it was people who didn't have measles jabs and stuff like that, wasn't it?
It was never used before. The article was it was him trying to berate anyone that questions it. Some of the things he said, yes, you can get a sore arm or a headache for a day or two, but more serious side effects are very rare indeed. They don't affect fertility, they don't insert tracking devices in your blood, and no, it's not a conspiracy masterminded by some sort of all-powerful lizard men.
But, talking to QAnon there.
Yeah.
He said it's the most intensively researched, clinically led, carefully monitored programs of any government has ever embarked on. And then he said this, and then finished it with saying there's simply no excuse to stay one of the unjabbed. How can it be right that people who have refused a jab put such a burden on the NHS? There's so much there that's factually incorrect. And again, I think a lot of the reasons that certainly myself and maybe you as well, Lord, don't want to get the vaccines, because being healthy people and with a lack of long-term data, I don't feel that the risk-reward is there.
No.
And you cannot therefore say that's not a legitimate reason to not get jabbed. Again, this is coming from the man that essentially said that we cannot have sex with other people or meet or our loved ones whilst he was banging Gina, whatever she called. You know, it's the hypocrisy is absolutely mad. He's then off the back of that. He was laughed at by a lot of MPs in the backbench. He was speaking from the backbenches, obviously, after saying that Britons deserve dignity under social care reform. Weeks after obviously walking out on his wife after a secret affair. He he's also now had to apologise because there's been so many conflicts of interest, but the Commons watchdog found that he was obviously late registering shares in firms that had NHS contracts, and he's actually now just said sorry, which apparently that's good enough. That's fine.
That's perfect.
I think we're going to. He's obviously a very career driven person, but I think we're going to see him trying to sneak back in. And I actually think he could. Sadly,
that's one good thing about Boris's reshuffle is it's created more disgruntled backbenchers.
It has. Yeah.
And also he's obviously promised a lot of people along the way during these lockdowns. Oh, you'll get a ministerial position if you toe the line on the lockdown.
Yeah.
And obviously a lot of those people, you know, there's only so many ministerial positions, so he's going to fuck a lot of them people.
But hopefully,
as well.
Disgruntled backbenchers will finally form an opposition.
Well, they're increasing in numbers. I think he's going to keep pissing people off, and I think it's going to get. It's like when someone realises they're not going to get that job they want, they go, "Well, I haven't got an agenda anymore to move up, so I'm actually going to stick to my principles now which is the wrong way." But
maybe it's in a sad reflection of politics at the moment. It's not going to be the fact they lock down all of our society that's going to piss him off. It's the fact that he's going on about all these green deals and agendas and stuff like that when it's completely unconservative, and people's fuel bills are going to go up £400 or £500 a year at the moment.
Let's see what happens after. I think going into spring next year, I think there's going to be. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what's happened by then. But I think if they're going by opinion polls, which they seem to, I think they're going to realise they're going to have to change their tune because they. I mean, it was, you know, walking back on the COVID passports. They did that after the polls. Their polls showed that they'd lost a load of support.
I'm sorry, that's not gone away.
No, of course that hasn't gone away. But they've.
In fact, there's
appeased
a Together declaration in London today doing a big protest.
I actually think partly the reason they did that was to then mark, try and put people on a bit of a high to then when they, because they then announced about vaccinating children shortly after that. So I think it was trying to distract people from which it
good
didn't.
Good cop, bad cop.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, great piece. Anyway, let's move on to books and movies and the new theme tune that we've just done. Here we go.
Movies and books. Movies and books. Movies and books.
There we go. Anyway. So then, we're actually going to start this one off with our female voice. Kate, have you thought up your books and movies yet?
No.
Oh, fucking hell. You're still on...
What's her book, the one you fancy? Laura Dodsworth.
Laura Dodsworth.
Has that cheered you up?
Not really, to be honest with you. No. It's pretty depressing
to
read.
That's why I refuse to read it.
I read 10 pages and then think,
have a little cry.
I need to go back to reality now.
read 10 pages in bed, have a little cry, and it's not about the book.
just life in general.
Okay, well, thank you for that.
Did you try and get in touch with her?
Yes.
Did she ever? She never came back to you?
Well, she did, didn't she?
Yeah, it was just serving papers.
Well, the restraining order.
That was it. I was down the road. Okay, then, Laurie, what's in your Please Don't Say a Horror Film?
That's all I got.
Really?
Yeah.
What was, come on then, let's hear it. No, you. Do the horror film. Come on.
No, you're sneering
Laurie,
at me.
Yeah. Honestly, there's only one good horror film out there.
I haven't. Well, very much.
It's Shining. That,
no, that's very true. That's still the.
Come play with this, Harry, forever and ever.
But to be fair, I've been quite distracted recently. I've had a busy few weeks, so I haven't really had the time to watch
true.
Much more.
Yeah,
so.
Passed your pilot's license, haven't you?
I did,
well
yes.
Well done. Well done, young man.
Lots of money down and. Yeah, lots of lost hours down.
Wanted to fly to the continent.
Well, yeah, that's not happening anymore, is it?
No, so.
Silly Isles. I always wanted to go to Silly Isles.
Silly, yeah, that, yeah, that'd be. Nice. That's,
I would like to go to the Daft Isles as well. Sorry,
that's where we live, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Don,
Euphoria TV series, really interesting. It's quite kind of dark, set in America, following sort of like late teens, early 20s, their lifestyle and everything. Huge amount of drinking, drugs, sex and everything.
Oh, now I know why.
And it's got that Sydney Sweeney, I think her name is. She's unbelievably fit.
So what's the story about, you know?
Don't know.
No idea. I'm watching the sound now.
On mute.
Oh, dearie me, the rewind button's been worn
away. But no, honestly, it's really intriguing.
Well, when is it set? Is it sort of
modern times? Yeah.
Okay, right.
But it's very dark and, quite intriguing. Well worth a watch.
Okay. Right, so was that Euphoria?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have actually been watching something called Vigil recently, which has been really good.
Is that a submarine?
Yeah.
See, I've read mixed reviews about it.
It is dark and it's...
As in literally not very well lit.
Yes, I mean, it's on a submarine, so I mean, there's only...
Well, yeah.
But I thought it's essentially a whodunit on a submarine, but then with a bit of other Russians involved sort of thing, and, you know, the Trident sort of upper is potentially scuppered by the whole thing. It's quite an interesting...
So someone's actually murdered...
On a submarine, and it's...
While it's underwater.
But they, yes, well, it's, yeah, and they can't leave because they are circling, as part of the Trident sort of process, they have to keep in their sort of loop of where they are, because if they're out of action, then obviously the whole of Trident's kind of goes down. Or the nuclear deterrent essentially is scuppered. So it's just something a bit different. It's an interesting...
Maybe they should park the submarines around the coast and then
and they can just
use
them
as mini nuclear reactors so we can have
some
power.
So we can have some power, yeah.
And charge up my kettle. all right, well,
maybe they should just parade them up and down in front of the French coast, sticking two fingers up.
In a diesel-powered submarine.
Yeah.
Torpedoing scallop fishing
how
things.
How the French reacted to it.
Well, the Australians didn't want the white flags welded onto the submarines, did they? So they had to...
No, they couldn't clear the smell of garlic out inside.
Fucking hell. Okay, I've got two things. Obviously, I had a fairly sad couple of weeks in Shea Rickmansworth following our family bereavement, so I thought I'd try and watch something to cheer us up a bit, and it didn't. Jack Whitehall travels with my father. So fucking annoying. Like, I understand the premise, but some of the places they go are genuinely interesting.
Yeah.
And he went sheep herding with sheep and a dog, and people at garages. But he went and did that, and it was really. I was like, this is actually interesting. I wish he'd actually asked some proper questions, but no, he just started falling about. I understand it's light-hearted entertainment, but it does irritate me.
I quite enjoyed the previous ones. I didn't think the most recent one.
Well, I like the murder mystery Agatha Christie Island. I didn't even know that.
No, I want to go there. It's like an Art Deco style hotel, isn't it? Where is it again? It's
on the south coast.
No, it's Dorset, I think, isn't it?
Where is that to?
Dorset.
Where is Dorset to?
Yeah, because every time the tide comes in, it kind of gets
that's
cut
it.
Off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'd like to go. You've been
and also Port Merion as well.
Yeah,
Port Merion, the prisoner. Yeah, yeah, massive ball game out. Every time I go to the gym, I see the gym ball and I think of the prisoner. But anyway, the other thing I've been doing is reading, following the Cinephiles, which is another podcast to listen to. If you don't listen to it, check it out.
Oh, yeah.
They review films. They just recently did a two-part episode on their podcast all about the making and development and acting and stuff like that of the film Master and Commander, so which is an amazing film.
Average film, but I enjoyed the review more than the film.
The bit of the film I really don't like is the middle section where they have, oh, it's a Judah. He's leading us straight into a trap. All this sort of stuff. It's actually... A friend of mine, we came up with an idea for a podcast where we just read out a whole film, do all the voices and stuff, and I would like to do Master and Commander. Should we beat to quarters? We shall beat to quarters! There you go. I mean, it makes itself, this podcast. But anyway, I decided after that, I'm getting to the point here, is that I would start reading, I think something like 20-odd books of the Jack Aubrey series, written by someone O'Brien, can't remember his first name, God, some people are going to kill me for the name of this. Just difficult to start reading, because it's kind of an archaic, introverted, frilly way of writing.
When were they written? Do you know what year they come from?
I think the 30s, 1930s.
Oh, so it's really, okay. So.
But it's one of those things, it's like, stick with it, read a few chapters of it, get into it, get used to the way there's this sort of weird verbosity going on.
And there's also meant to be a lot of real sort of naval, technical stuff.
Yeah, like shit.
You almost need Bernard Cornwall
and
to like...
sea.
What is?
You almost need them to sharp it up, don't you, almost, I guess. So
yeah, I did think I was going into a Bernard Cornwall, a little bit of Bernard, and a little bit of your bastards, and all this sort of stuff.
Sharp
it. It's none of it. Sharp as your... But... can we just say, Pete Postlethwaite, what an actor.
Yeah, what a face. Yeah.
God rest him.
He wouldn't be in Euphoria, would he?
No.
never looked particularly well.
He just bent up. But he was brilliant in Sharp, with his little... He did that twitch, didn't he? Do you remember? And he used to talk into his hat. Like, mother!
He was basically unkillable, wasn't he, for a lot of...
You can't kill me until
they actually shoot him.
Can I just say, I only ever watched one episode of Sharp.
The first one? Sharp's Rifles?
No, I bet you can guess which one it was.
Waterloo, Sharp's Waterloo.
No. Breast one. I mean, there was a lot of tits there. Liz Hurley.
That's the only episode I've ever watched.
I would love to have been on set when Sean Bean was like, I feel like I wasn't quite in character then. Can we do it again, please? Get your fucking tits out, Liz.
That was very good, actually.
God, you bastards. Yeah, someone's done a compilation as well of all the times Sean Bean said bastard in Sharp and put it on YouTube. This is why the internet is great, and this is why the Australian government can't shut it off. Final thoughts for today's podcast, guys.
It's nice to be back.
It is. It is good to be back.
I had a look. It's 17th of July. Last time we did.
Really?
So 2 months.
Well, yeah. I promise we get, you know, we sort of try and get some more out. It's getting together, recording it and doing the edit and then putting it up. Basically, the running of a podcast that is...
No one cares.
Yeah.
Least of all us.
This is what I have to do, you sods. Well, look, thanks ever so much for listening today, everyone. We're going to leave our final thoughts to our female voice today. Suddenly,
I'm just like, what? What
about? Kate, what would you like to say to our listeners to end the podcast?
Let us know if you want a female voice, I suppose, if you've liked what I've said.
Thanks very much for listening.
That's enough of that.
You've seen you. Yeah. Like, well, carry on.
No, that's it.
You blew it.
I know. God.
She's now flounced off.
I know. Seriously, I keep getting all these emails from Ofcom. Don't know why. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. See you in the next podcast. Remember, we love you all. Take off your masks. Enjoy your life. Goodbye. Creamy man, take me to the hay in a chosen life, that you understand. Creamy man, no, let me my bird, I want to say that I say. Creamy man, right on the stone. You're creamy, don't I be your body in my mind. Let me cream and go, and I swear that. Oh, bitch, I'm called a snow. Yeah.